Thanks, Merchants Bank. Can't wait to see what's next.
And we are back on the KYMN Morning Show. Christy Purcell, State Representative from District of 58A, is joining us by way of telephone from the nation's capital, at least Minnesota's capital, St. Paul. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Jeff.
Thank you for setting the alarm clock early. I know you had a late night last night in the legislature. Tell us, was that a floor session that was going on? What were you doing yesterday?
Yes, we have had floor session every day this week. So the speaker warned us this is going to be doom week number one, and possibly doom week number two next week, because we're hearing finance omnibus bills. So coming out of committees, sort of the totality of what is passed out of those committees and what funding is attached to it. So this is the point in the session where we hear lots and lots of amendments to the bills. So I think we spent 7, 8, 9 hours on one of the gun safety bills yesterday, of which we heard two, and then another safety bill. So it's just sort of like long hours and sometimes pretty emotionally taxing content. Mm-hmm. You know, people are very passionate about the issues, which is great. That's what we want our representatives to be knowledgeable, be passionate, and be participating. But it has meant long days this week, so we have a midnight rule. We did waive that rule last night. We went till about 12:45, and then we are prepared to waive the rule and maybe today go work all night and into the morning. So need to get our work done.
Let's talk about some of those things that got done. I understand the House did pass a vote on toughening some, had to do with like gun storage and safety and reporting firearms. Is that the bill that passed yesterday?
Yes. So the reporting of stolen firearms we did earlier this week. Actually, it's difficult for me to remember what day it is. But then the one we passed last night was the safe storage. So because we know that now, for the first time in history, gun violence is the number one killer of children in the United States. So that has surpassed car accidents, that has surpassed all the things that used to be the case that threatened our young people. It's now gun violence. So trying to make access to guns more difficult for children. So we passed a bill about straw purchases and about binary triggers. And then before that, the bill that was hours and hours last night or yesterday afternoon into the evening was about safe storage. But then earlier in the week, it was a straw purchase.
Let's talk about that. They did pass through, but were those close votes? Did you get any Republicans crossing the aisle and voting in favor of any of these?
Yes. So the final gun bill that we heard last night, which was not the final bill we heard, I guess, technically this morning, which was on swatting. So like when you call a SWAT team in unnecessarily and they burst into a person's home, that could be really dangerous for all parties involved. And because more recently Tom Emmer was swatted, this happens to people who are gaming live. But we passed a bill brought by the Republican Minority Leader Lisa Damas to strengthen the penalty when that's done on a public servant. So that was our final bill that we did in the wee hours this morning. But the last gun bill we did was really kind of inspired by the tragedy that happened in Burnsville, which of course impacted our community as well. And we that was a bipartisan. There were a couple of of Republicans who joined with the Democrats in voting for that bill on both the binary triggers and the straw purchases, as we saw the tragedy unfold, you know, in the South Metro.
Yeah, and for our listeners out there, a binary trigger, from what I understand, is a gun that you pull the trigger once and it shoots two bullets. And you can't just shoot one. Is that do I have kind of the correct basic definition of that?
Essentially, so my understanding is that when you pull the trigger, you know, kind of towards you, as is typical, then a bullet is fired, and then as you release the trigger, another bullet is fired. And I don't believe any guns are actually, you know, manufactured that way. So this is a thing you put on to your firearm afterwards to then essentially make, you know, like a semi-automatic weapon, basically an automatic weapon.
Once again, from the legislature, I should say, Representative Christy Purcell is with us. We're talking about what's happening this week, what did happen this week in the legislature. You've wrapped up all your committees. Have you wrapped up all the committees? Are there any conference committees that have been assigned yet, or is that going to happen, you think?
Yes. So there are conference committees that have been assigned. I'm not sure the status of, I think there's some that are meeting today. It's been very difficult this biennium just to line up the schedules of senators and the schedules of representatives. So there have been my colleagues having to leave the floor, stay in the building somewhere, but to try and pre-conference, you know, have conversations. And then I think some actual conference committees have met or will be meeting on bills that have passed off of the Senate and the House floor. This is a time of year where it's really useful for me to know what's happening in the Senate, but I feel like I don't have a great sense of what's happening over there. So I have not been assigned to any conference committees yet. I think mostly those have been the policy committees that have met, and as we are passing finance bills, I don't know that the Senate has passed any other finance bills. And then because this is an even number year, we actually do not constitutionally need to pass anything. So there's always kind of that that threat and that looming piece. So over in the House of Representatives, we are trying to complete our work and do what we can to fulfill the work of the people, and then we'll just sort of see what happens over there. Over there in the other chamber.
Now, as you mentioned, you're not constitutionally obligated to do anything, pass any bills, including a bonding bill. This is normally considered the bonding bill. There have been reports of with the governor releasing some of his priorities as far as that goes. Was that the governor that released that? Where did that come from? Things are coming scattering out of the House, the Senate, and the governor's office, kind of all the time. Where's the bonding bill at?
So that is such a great question. It's hard for me to keep track too, Jeff. So, my understanding is that on Sunday, at least in the House, we released a draft bonding kind of priorities in the way that the governor did. I forget what length of time ago, a month ago, maybe more. But because the bonding bill needs a 3/5 majority from both chambers, this is kind of the bargaining chip, the thing that gets made into a bargaining chip, unfortunately. And this is sort of the traditionally where a lot of funding for Greater Minnesota projects comes from. The messages I've heard from my colleagues across the aisle is, you know, they want this to be really focused on kind of roads and bridges. We have, last year we passed a cash bonding bill and GO bonds. This year all that I've heard is just about a GO bond, so that only gets, those are projects where there is a funding loaned only to governmental agencies, so like, say, the city of Northfield. or, you know, different cities and counties and governmental entities. Mm-hmm. So that is what was released on Sunday, is the kind of tentative House version. And then, again, I'm sorry, I don't know what the status is over in the Senate. I believe they also released a tentative bonding bill, and then that is basically the last thing that will get done, because it does need to be more bipartisan than our other bills need to be.
All right. Now, once again, Christy Purcell is with us. Hey, one other thing I want to ask you, and I don't expect you to have an answer for this one, because it just happened on a federal level. The Department of Justice says they are aiming to take marijuana off the Schedule 1 list of banned substances and put it on a different level that kind of loosens up some of the restrictions. That just happened a day or two ago. Has there been any conversations in the House about either this week since then or even prior to that about some of the federal government's limitations and what effect that might have? Is that going to be anything that might be voted on by the House or Senate, the legislature this year?
Well, I will say thank you for sharing that with me. During Doom Week, my head has definitely been in the sand. So I think that sounds like good news, but that's literally the first I've heard of that. The point we are in the session, and with a quote-unquote part-time legislature, there is not time to be able to address something like this that might happen federally or might happen in the state. So my short answer is nope, nothing is going to get done, because we're constitutionally mandated to adjourn by May 20th unless the governor convenes us again. We are unable to convene ourselves. So short answer is nope, nothing's going to get done around that. But I guess my larger answer is I think, as we've seen a state-by-state basis around cannabis as a controlled substance, I think that's good news that the federal mm-hmm. government is paying attention to what's happening in the states. And I know when I talk with farmers or other potential business owners, one of their main challenges is funding, because it has been a Schedule I federal drug. You know, talking with bankers in our community too, they are unable to loan or give mortgages or anything to these cannabis businesses, which then folks have to operate on a cash basis, which can be difficult or sketchy. So I'm cautiously optimistic that I literally just learned about that from from you right now. But I'm hopeful that that helps remove some of the barriers for folks who are ready to, you know, legally begin some of these business ventures. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's, once again, just a proposal. It's what they're working for, so it's far from complete. But sometime this summer, it may or may not get through. It's a federal government. Who knows what's going to happen? But it looks like it's starting to swing in that direction, and that would really allow for more research, medical research of marijuana as well. It hasn't even been, haven't been allowed to do that. Christy, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us. Best of luck to you. Do you have I'm presuming another busy week coming up next week.
That's the idea, and potentially into the fishing opener and Mother's Day weekend. So I'm hoping not, but kind of we're needing to keep our calendars cleared, and likely another phone call check-in next week,
Jeff. All right. Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Christy. State Representative Christy Purcell from District 58A. We check in with her each week during the legislative session. Just a couple more weeks to do that. Got Tim coming up. News with a side of sports. Just a few minutes off, and it'll feature once again Ned the Horse Farmer. And also Rich Larson will sit in. We'll talk Derby today after the news segment. Here's local news after, well, state news coming up next with MNN.
This news update is brought to you by Northfield Retirement Community. Rooted in Christian values, Northfield Retirement Community supports independence, dignity, and quality of life for the aging by providing innovative living options and services.
Northfield Retirement Community has received higher satisfaction ratings on Minnesota's Assisted Living Report Card when compared to other assisted living facilities across the state. These high ratings in the quality of resident life and family satisfaction come directly from residents and their families. Northfield Retirement Community offers a wide variety of housing and service options that are specifically designed to meet the physical, social, and spiritual needs of aging adults. Contact Northfield Retirement Community for more information at northfieldretirement.org. Northfield Retirement Community, innovation, choice, tradition.
Minnesota News Network, I'm Brent Palm. The Minnesota House passed a gun safe storage bill late last night following 11 hours of debate. It would make it illegal to store firearms unless they're unloaded and trigger locked or in a locked storage unit or gun room. Probably the longest and most heated debate came when Republicans proposed that victims of stalking and those seeking restraining orders be exempt from gun storage requirements. Andover Republican Peggy Scott says,
many women practice over and over, how can I get to my firearm the quickest? Playing out scenarios in our minds of somebody breaking in on us. It's an uncomfortable feeling. It's not fun that we even have to go there, but it's a reality.
Shoreview Democrat Kelly Moeller responds, the proposed law does not prevent women from being prepared to defend themselves.
The example given of a gun on a nightstand while you're sleeping, that is okay.
Moeller says the GOP proposal would have allowed someone to leave multiple loaded guns around the house, risking access by a child. A cannabis policy bill in the Minnesota Senate floor today would allow some operators to begin cultivation as early as this summer. Office of Cannabis Management Interim Director Charlene Briner says those applicants must receive pre-approval.
So the micro businesses, which are the vertically integrated small businesses, the mesos, which are the medium size, and the bulk or cultivator licenses, they would be able, under the pre-approved license, to be able to cultivate.
Applicants say they need to start growing right away in order to have adequate supply for the launch of retail sales next year. The bill also includes rules for issuing licenses, packaging of adult-use products, and moving the Office of Medical Cannabis under the OCM. And authorities in Douglas County continue to search for a suspect in an armed robbery Thursday at a bank in Alexandria. Police say the man reportedly had a handgun and got away with an undisclosed amount of cash. A SWAT team searched a home last night, but no arrests have been made. You're listening